Well, I'm excited. You know, we're on this series that I've entitled, you know, the importance of having a biblical worldview, and we're going to continue in that frame today. A biblical worldview is simply looking at the world through the Bible, through God's lens, and allowing that to shape and mold our thinking and our perceptions of it. And subsequently, that will also, our actions shall follow suit. Okay? So, Pastor Ralph, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. A biblical worldview is about our thinking. It's about our thinking. Our thinking needs to be in alignment with what God says in his word. You know, the Bible becomes the lens that we look through. Now, you will look and you will act differently from others who don't look through that same lens. And so, you know, you'll think and act differently than someone who doesn't honor God or his word. Right now, we're getting a real-life demonstration of why it's important to have a biblical worldview. You know, people who have a biblical worldview will not plot and connive a scheme of deceptions and lies against another. The Bible says in Exodus 20:16 that you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Someone with a biblical worldview will not try to steal something that belongs to someone else, even an election. Scripture says in Exodus 20:15, you shall not steal. That's pretty plain, pretty simple, right? And someone with a biblical worldview will not covet something that belongs to another. Exodus 20:17. Ralph says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. We are not to covet anything. You know, God hates dishonesty. He hates dishonest scales. To him, that is an abomination. Ralph, Proverbs 11:1 says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight, a fair weight, is his delight. So dishonest scales are a form of cheating. You know, God calls dishonesty and cheating, and those who practice those things, he calls them an abomination. Deuteronomy 25:16 says, for all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God. That's the New King James Version, and the Berean Study Bible Version is just as descriptive. Listen to this one. It says, for everyone who behaves dishonestly in regard to these things, you know, without personal integrity, you know, those who lie and are deceitful and cheat, this version says it is detestable to the Lord. Detestable. I want to look at another scripture. Ralph, if you go to Proverbs 6, and this is, I'm going to look at verses 16 to 19. It says, these six things the Lord hates. We were looking at that this morning back in the prayer room. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are what? An abomination to him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. And verse 18, a heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. So, you know, we can see from these few scriptures, and there's a whole lot more in scripture, in the Bible, That you get the idea that God hates dishonesty. He hates when people plan, deceive. They plan on, you know, deceiving people. And it's very evident to me and to many others that we've had quite a bit of dishonesty and voter fraud in this election. And so, you know, so obvious, 138,000 ballots showing up at 3 o'clock in the morning with only the presidential candidate voted on, none of the other candidates, only the president, and all those votes for one of the candidates. That smells of some, you know, hanky-panky going on there, right? there were even, I don't know if you heard this, but there were even thousands of dead people that voted. And so, you know, this corruption needs to be exposed. It's time. I don't know if you remember, but two presidential elections ago, there were two precincts in Philadelphia, two precincts, the whole precinct. There was, all the votes were for one candidate, one presidential candidate. All of them. And so that smelled of foul play right there. And you know what? Nobody did anything about it. So my prayer is for the scales of justice to come into balance, because they've been out of balance for so long. No one has corrected it, but they need to be brought back into balance. And the lies and the schemes need to be exposed, and those responsible need to be held accountable. And we have a president who is doing just that, or trying to do just that. All we want is a fair election, an election of integrity, and we haven't had that. We did not have that this time around. And so I do not believe that all of God's prophets misheard. No. They did not mishear God. And so I do believe that the legal vote of this election has placed Trump as the winner. Yes. Now, what we do need is the truth to come forth and the lies to be exposed. We need justice to prevail. And so we need God's agenda to come forth. I believe that President Trump has been speaking about this all through his 4 years. He actually kind of warned us and said that we would be in this situation, if you remember. But I do believe, you know, he's talked about the deep state, but I believe that he's found out, and we have too, that deep state is a whole lot deeper than he thought. Ralph, could you go to Proverbs 20, verse 26? Scripture says that a wise king sifts out the wicked, a wise king, and brings the threshing wheel over them. Now, you know, we have a monarchy here. We don't have a monarchy here. We have a republic. Donald Trump is not a king, but he does hold the highest position in our, the place of leadership in our country, that of the president. And so, you know, he's been speaking of wickedness at many levels, and that was part of his agenda when he came on board as president. And he, I believe that we need to hold him up in prayer. I believe we need to stand unified and not accept the lies. I do believe that wickedness and that deep state has had a lot of planning over these 4 years to come to this point, but we need righteousness to prevail, and we need to demand it, even if it means going to the Supreme Court. I believe that we need to do that. And so, anyway, in this scripture, the threshing wheel here, it's referring to destruction and judgment, actually, the threshing wheel. A threshing wheel is a large, heavy wheel that it's used to roll over grain. It's a heavy wheel that rolls over the grain, and it separates the kernels of grain from the stalks by force. It's a force. It rolls over the grain and separates it. That's one of the ways that the ancient Israelites harvested the grain that they grew. And so sometimes they would use, you know, their animals. It was the weight. It was the pressure. It was the heaviness. They could use, sometimes they would use like a plank that had rocks and metal pieces underneath it that they would pull over the grain to separate it. And so the idea here is to forcefully cause something to be identified and separated. And I believe that's what we need to do in every level of our government. But particularly right now with this election, we need to do something about it and not allow it to go on anymore. This is critical. And so, you know, the evil needs to be identified, it needs to be separated, it needs to be cut off and held accountable. It has to be exposed. And so far, Donald Trump has been the only one that has been willing to stand up against it. But we just want to, you know, make sure that he knows that he's not standing alone, that he has an army behind him. And he needs our prayers. This country needs our prayers. I have placed Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann's prayer points on the back table. She has 5 prayer points. You may have already heard about them because a lot of ministries we're coming together to pray in unity as a church body all across the land. They're on the back table. Please pick them up. Take them with you. Our prayer team this morning was back there praying in unity. And so I did send that prayer out to the prayer team earlier this week, and I will be getting it out through the email. I'll get that on the email today. So we're all praying in unity, and we're not backing down. We must remain vigilant.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Well, anyway, so last week we looked at several political platforms of the presidential candidates, and we compared what they stood for based on what God says in his word. That's what we were looking at last week. If we're to have a biblical worldview, we need to know what the Bible says about that. Okay, what does God say about it? And we looked at where each of the candidates stood on these 3 areas. The area of abortion, you know, life. The area of marriage, homosexuality. And the area of socialism. And I focused on those 3 platforms, those 3 areas, because those are the 3 areas that God revealed to, remember the testimony that I shared about Renisa Garrett, powerful, powerful testimony that she shared, and we were focusing on that. She shared that with Dr. Francis Miles after she sought God about this election and how to vote. She had listened to one of Dr. Miles's messages that was really talking about evil idols and evil altars. And God specifically told her that she could not co-sign with those agendas or those platforms of abortion, of homosexuality and same-sex marriage, and of socialism, because they go against him and they go against his word. He said she could not co-sign. And by co-signing, if she would vote that way, then she would be co-signing with those agendas. She would be supporting them. And so in each instance last week, we looked at what God had to say in his written word, and we compared it to the worldview of each of those presidential candidates. That's what we were doing last week. And so we also had voter guides last week. Voter guides, you know, they tell us where candidates stand on different issues. And so we had those available for you as well. In each of the 3 areas that we were looking at, it was very easy to see where the candidates stood on each item and then compare it to what God says. On abortion, if you remember, God told Renisa that abortion is legalized murder. Amen. Legalized murder. That was the term that God spoke. You know, this was a God moment. Renisa was really crying out to God. She wanted to know, why do these Christians vote for Donald Trump? Remember this testimony. Her heart was pure. She wanted to know. And so God was talking to her. God was sharing. You know, This is legalized murder. And God specifically says in his written word in Deuteronomy 5:17, we looked at it last week, that you shall not murder. God said it. You shall not murder. A murder is taking the life of the innocent. And a baby is innocent, hasn't even been born yet. And so we looked at other related scriptures as well last week, but this is what God said to Renisa. You cannot co-sign with this agenda of legalized murder. Remember, Renisa declared that she was a lifelong Democrat. And that's how she and her entire family always voted. But now she's having a moment here with God. And you know, she's asking God, you know, why? And God is responding to her. And then we looked at how the candidates, how they stood on that subject. And we saw very clearly in the voter guides, and we're allowed to discuss these issues in the church. Who stands for what? We're allowed to do that. We're allowed to hand out voter guides. I understand that there's a lot of churches that won't hand out voter guides, even though we're allowed to. And you know what? We need to. The best vote is an informed vote, really. And so the candidates revealed their clear stand on these issues. President Trump, who was the Republican candidate, he opposes abortion. Joe Biden, the Democrat candidate, very clearly on the voter's guide, supports abortion. And then we looked at the second category. We looked at at marriage and homosexuality, if you remember. And this is what God told Renisa. Pastor Alpha, you could bring this up. This is what he spoke to her. She's crying out. She wants to know, you know, why? You know, how do I vote? What's going on here? He said, look at how marriage is being defined and how our children and the people's minds, worldview, are being shaped to believe that this is acceptable and okay. So we looked at God's word to see what God says about it, because it doesn't matter what people think. What matters is, what does God say about it, right? And so we saw in Genesis 1:27 and 28, where God ordained marriage to be between a man and a woman. He said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. He made a male and female. And, you know, it requires a male and a female to be fruitful and multiply. Yes. You know, science has proved it. So that was the first marriage. And God specifically states that homosexuality is an abomination. An abomination. Pastor Ralph, Leviticus 18:22. This is the verse we looked at. There's many in Scripture. Okay, but we're doing a mini review here for those of you who weren't at the last two messages that we had. Ralph, do we have those on Podbean yet?
The rest of them will go up today.
They will. Okay. Got it. All right. So if you missed the previous several messages, you'll be able to go on wordoflifechurchpa.podbean.com, and you'll be able to get those the further messages. So Leviticus 18:22 says, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." It's an abomination. And then we looked at other related scriptures as well last week. So God's stand on this is very clear. Marriage is between a man and woman. And then we looked at the voter guides that asked each of the presidential candidates where they stood on the LGBTQ Equality Act. You know, that would force businesses to provide services for those who, would want like a same-sex marriage kind of thing, you know? And so churches to marry. And so we saw in those voter guides very clearly that Joe Biden, the Democrat candidate, supports that agenda. And we also saw that Donald Trump, the Republican candidate, does not support that agenda. And then the third area that we looked at was the area of socialism. And God told Renisa, that socialism is rearing his head and being glorified. Socialism is rearing his head. Here again, we're talking about a spirit. This is a spiritual battle, church. It's a spiritual battle. And you know, we talked about how God was very much a part of the establishment of our country. You know, that we were established as a free nation on God's principles and values. We showed that, you know, his name is mentioned in our founding documents. We showed that last week. His name is even printed on your money, in your wallets. In God we trust. And his word is inscribed on our national symbol, the Liberty Bell, all those things. So we, you know, that indicate God's hand in this nation. And so then we also shared how Karl Marx's viewpoint on socialism and communism began to spread and really bleed into this country. And we shared how socialism never works. It never works. Using past history, we talked about the Pilgrims, you know, how they were told that that's how they had to establish their colonies here, and it failed miserably. They nearly all starved. But when they kicked over, you know, into God's principles, they began to flourish. We also looked at modern day examples last week of Detroit, Michigan. We also looked at Venezuela, and we said socialism is anti-God because it promotes poverty. God is not a God of poverty. He wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. And then, you know, when the Pilgrims had instituted one of those godly principles, it kept them from starving. That was 2 Thessalonians 3:10. And if anyone will not work, neither will they eat. When they instituted that, that made a huge change. They began to prosper, and they never had any lack after that. Awesome. So God blesses the work of our hands. We just have to have our hands doing something, right? And so he wants us to prosper. And the free market economy, it encourages people to prosper. It encourages them to flourish. Socialism does not. So socialism is anti-God. It's against God's principles. It's against him. And so we could see from the voter guides that we were allowed to hand out, that Joe Biden, the Democrat Party, supports a more government-controlled, socialistic type of agenda, and Donald Trump, the Republican candidate, supports a free market system. So these are the three areas that we looked at. We compared them to what God says in his word. You know, it's God's opinion that counts. It doesn't matter what man thinks. What does God say? God says that we're to line our thinking up with his. And the scripture we've been looking at is Romans 12:2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world. You know, don't think like this world thinks. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind, renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God tells us clearly we need our minds renewed to what he says, you know, to his word. We need to think like he does. And after looking at those three agendas and comparing God's word to how the candidates stood on those, the Republican candidate was aligned with God in all three of those areas. The Democrat candidate was not aligned in any of them. And so, you know, God is neither Democrat nor Republican, but he does declare in his word, you know, truth and what he stands for. And the Republican candidate aligned more closely to God than the Democrat at this time. And so that's helpful for us to know when we go to the polls to vote. How do we vote? You know, do we vote by emotion? There's a lot of emotion going on out there. We're not to vote by emotion. We have to have a biblical worldview and vote with God, side with God. And so what I want to look at is what God says to do with those platforms. I'm going to look at that today. Those agendas that are against him. You know, that that Dr. Miles, he said those platforms, those agendas are actually altars that have been erected in our country. And so the Bible speaks about these altars to the pagan god Molech, where people sacrificed their children on those altars by placing them on the altar and consuming them with fire. God told the Israelites, don't kill your children. Don't kill them. Don't sacrifice them to Molech. Ralph, could you bring up Leviticus 18:21? God says, and you shall not let any of your descendants, none of your children, or your grandchildren, or their children, don't let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, your God. I am the Lord. You know, we've seen an altar raised in our country to the pagan god Molech through abortion. Also, in our country, we have seen an altar raised to the pagan god Baal. Baal was, he's the god of sexuality and fertility in that land of Canaan. And so we have seen homosexuality paraded through pridefully all across our land, in our streets. It's even being taught in our schools. And it's saying that, you know, it's acceptable and it's okay. But what did God say to Renisa? We saw this last week. Ralph, could you bring that up again? This is what he said. He said, don't be intoxicated to the point that you are distracted from what is being paraded in front of you. Look at how marriage is being defined and how our children and the people's minds are being shaped to believe that this is acceptable and okay. God's talking about our worldview there, our thoughts. What do we think? And he gave revelation to Renisa that she was not to vote for the personality of the candidates, but that she was to vote for the platform that the candidates stood on. And then, if you remember from the testimony that we shared, and you can listen to the whole testimony when Pastor Ralph gets that on Podbean, then, of course, Renisa experienced an incredible, powerful deliverance. God delivered her from a demonic spirit that had blinded her all those years. It was a powerful testimony. I beg you to get on there and listen to it. It was actually an expulsion. She kept vomiting. You know, when in deliverance, demons can come out all kinds of ways. Vomiting is one. That's the way that demon was released from God. Released that demon through her because her heart was right. She wanted to submit to God. She just didn't know this demon was hindering her. But she received her deliverance. In deliverance, spirits could come out with a sigh. They could come out with a hiccup. But they need to be released. And so she shared her powerful testimony. And then she voted the way that God told her to vote. That's having now she has a biblical worldview. She didn't have that before. But I want to look at this. What does God tell us to do about those altars that have been erected in our country? You know, when God was guiding the Israelites from slavery, and he said, you know, I got a promised land for you guys, and he's going to guide them into that promised land, and he gives them some specific instructions before they get there. He knew that the Canaanites worshipped pagan gods, and he told the Israelites what to do with those altars of worship to other gods. Pastor Ralph, Exodus 34, verses 13 to 14. This is what God says. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. He wants us. He wants all of us. And he stresses it again in Deuteronomy 12, verses 1 to 4. Verse 1 says, "These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you to possess all the days that you live on the earth." Verse 2, "You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations which you shall dispossess served their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree." And in verse 3, "And you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from that place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things." So God plainly told the Israelites to tear down those altars to those pagan gods, Molech, Baal, and to not worship them. You know, not murder your children. Don't let your children pass through the fire to Molech. Don't accept homosexuality or lesbianism. It's an abomination. He was very clear. And, you know, and all the other isms, you know, don't allow that in the land that I'm giving to you. Do not allow it. And so God is saying the very same thing to us here. He gave us this land. He's saying, do not allow that in this land that I gave you. He set us up to be the nation that all other nations look to. We're to be the city on a hill. We're to be light to the rest of the world. He says, do not allow that. And so he's saying, tear down these altars. Tear them down. Worship only me. They are an abomination to me. God's very clear. And so if we co-sign with those agendas, with those altars, by voting for the candidates who stand on those altars, then God says that we will face consequences. We'll face consequences. God said this to the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 to 28. It says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today." And in verse 28, "And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known." God is saying there are consequences if we don't follow him. There are consequences when we don't have a biblical worldview. And so while there likely will be some recounts going on in this election, and there need to be, and hopefully every evil plot will be identified and pulled down, so that the process, the election process, will be corrected. But yet, you know, there are many in this country who voted for those altars in this election, and I'm also very certain that many of those who did call themselves Christians. Remember, this is a spiritual battle, church. It's a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. But who did God tell need to pull down those altars? Who did he give that command to? The people. He gave that command to the Israelites. He gives that command to us. we are to pull down those altars. We have to be the ones to destroy the altars to Molech and to Baal that have been allowed to be erected. Voting for those agendas is not pulling them down. Like the Israelites, many in our country have exchanged the truth for the lies and have passively allowed those altars to be erected, you know, killing of innocent babies, and the redefinition of marriage, and we've allowed socialistic teaching in our schools and in our colleges. We've allowed it. But this is what I want to bring it down to. Many of our pulpits all across this nation still remain silent. Many of our pulpits have joined in with those agendas, with those altars. They've embraced those altars to Molech and to Baal over their dedication to God. And so if God says that it's the truth that sets people free from the lies and from the bondage of the enemy, and he does, and we heard the powerful testimony, we've shared that testimony by Vernisa Garrett over these last couple of weeks, that truth literally set her free from a demonic bondage. It literally set her free. Where is the truth gonna come from? It's gotta come from the pulpits. It's gotta come from the church. And it's gotta get out there into our society. People's minds need to be brought back into alignment with the Word of God. We still got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do. We need the Black Robe Regiment in their pulpits. You know, if I would mention that phrase in most churches around here, they wouldn't have a clue what I'd be talking about. But the Black Robed Regiment were the pastors during the Revolutionary War that stood in their pulpit and spoke the truth and encouraged our people to stand up and fight. And we got the victory. They weren't afraid to speak. They weren't afraid that they were going to lose money. They weren't afraid that their 501c3 would be taken away. They spoke the truth boldly, unapologetically. That's what we need our pastors to do. We need them to do that. If you've been watching any of the election results, you can see the areas in the country that repeatedly turn blue. The blue represents the Democrat Party that aligns with these altars. We saw that last week, and we just looked at it again briefly today in this review. It's the Democrat Party that does line up with those things as we compared them last week. And so one of the areas of the country that is consistently turning blue is New England. Consistently, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, when Gary and I toured the New England states, we would see church after church waving their rainbow flag, saying that they are in support of that agenda for homosexuality. We've all seen the photo, Ralph, if you could bring up, we've all seen the photo of the White House that was lit up in rainbow colors to celebrate our country's legalization of same-sex marriages. That was under the Obama administration. Again, we're talking blue here. You may remember this, we've seen the tip of the One World Trade Center, Ralph, the building in New York City last year. It was lit up in pink, and that was to celebrate the approval of the murder of innocent babies all the way up to the full 9-month term of that baby being born. When Governor Cuomo signed that Health Reform Act, Reproductive Act, he proudly donned a pink tie. And look at all the other, his, you know, fellow, they all are wearing pink. Pink dresses, pink shirts, pink ties. You know, that law ensures that New York will treat abortion like health care. And they call it a medical procedure. And since no other medical procedure is regulated like a crime, they don't think abortion should be a crime either. That's their thinking. That's their world thinking. And so Governor Cuomo directed that New York's landmarks all be lit up in pink. That's how they were proudly celebrating that achievement. And he wants that to be a light for the rest of the country to follow. So, you know, there was an uproar recently with the Supreme Court confirmation of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. They did not want that to go through because they were afraid that their altar to Moloch would be pulled down. And so Judge Amy is a Christian. She replaced Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was very adamantly pro-abortion. You know, the job of the Supreme Court is to enforce our Constitution. And so they're to uphold the Constitution. And our Constitution is the supreme law of our land. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg repeatedly said that our Constitution is old and needs to be replaced. Her worldview essentially says that our Constitution is old and therefore does not apply to today, to this modern world. She advised other countries to not use our Constitution as a model to design and write theirs. Don't use ours. And this is the Constitution that she was supposed to be supporting and enforcing. And yet, you know, we had David Barton. If you remember when David Barton was here this summer, he's a great American historian. He was here in September, actually. He gave tons and tons of evidence of how our Constitution has survived and has worked beautifully for our country for 233 years because of its design, because of its checks and balances between the three separate branches of government, the executive, the judicial, and the legislative. As long as those branches do their job and are not compromised. So right now, we have the executive branch, the president, calling for those checks and balances to be implemented now in this critical election. And our prayers are with President Trump to continue to stand for the truth and that evil will be exposed. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was the most liberal of all of the judges on our Supreme Court. Her worldview did not line up with God's worldview. It did not line up with God's viewpoint. And God clearly states in Scripture, we've seen it before, Exodus 18:21, that we're to place godly men and women in places of leadership. Those who, you know, love God, who hate covetousness, these are the kind of people that God tells us to place in leadership positions of judgment. And Justice Amy Coney Barrett beautifully fills the bill. She does. Yet there was so much fight against her. So much fight. This is a spiritual battle that we're in. It's a spiritual battle. Recently, just this past September, you remember the Creation Museum? Gary and I we'd visited the Creation Museum, for those of you who are here, and we brought pictures back. There, that ministry, they built the replica of Noah's Ark, you know, out there in Kentucky. It's the Creation Museum. Recently, in September, they installed phase one of their Fearfully and Wonderfully Made exhibit. It was supposed to be set up by July, but because of all the shutdown and everything, it wasn't able to be set up until September. So the goal of that exhibit is obviously to indicate, is indicated by the name, to show how incredible life is, and that life is from God, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so The exhibit design team that was to set this, make, create this exhibit and set it up, they searched for models of the development of a little child, you know, in the fetus, in its mother's womb, from fertilization all the way to birth. They wanted actual models as the baby progresses in the womb. And so they weren't finding the quality that they really wanted. They spent a lot of time researching it. So they spent hundreds of hours researching and then producing their own models because they wanted to represent those different stages of the pregnancy. So these models were translucent so that you could actually see the organs that were being created at each stage of development. Really cool, really cool. And so could you bring up that first picture, Ralph? This was one of the models that they came up with. And so the results were so good, they were so pleased with the results that they came up with, that the founder of the ministry, Ken Ham, if you've ever heard of this guy, he posted several pictures of these baby models on the internet post. This is one of the pictures. And he believes that this exhibit is going to be very powerful to show and to teach, you know, biblically and scientifically that there's life. There is life, you know. God creates life. And he believes that this exhibit that they have, that it will come against people's worldview on abortion. And so abortion was a big issue in this election. That one is 40 days, but they have, can you go to the next slide, Ralph? This was part of their whole, it progresses. They had a whole bunch, they have all these different, I haven't been out there since, they just put this in September, but I'm real excited about it. I can't wait to see it. So they believe that this exhibit is going to help parents train their children, their grandchildren, to have a biblical worldview about life, about abortion. Abortion takes a life. Not too surprisingly, when Facebook found out about that, guess what they did with that post? They pulled it down. Yeah. But others had already sent it, you know, all around. And after Mr. Ham had posted the pictures and information about his exhibit, hundreds of people were responding really positively that they couldn't wait to this exhibit opened up. They were looking forward to its opening. But then he said, suddenly, all of a sudden, they started getting all this hateful commentary. A lot of blasphemous, vile, hateful, evil comments. And he said that his Facebook was being monitored by his staff. They monitor social media responses. And he said his staff members were so shocked by these hateful comments that he had received. So they researched and found out that someone had shared the post with an atheist Facebook discussion group. And that's where all those evil comments were coming from. And so another thing that they found out after checking the profiles of the ones who were making these comments, these hateful comments, evil, the majority of them appeared to be from young women and young men in their 20s. And so the social media monitors on Ken Han's staff said that there were over 100 comments about eating the unborn children. Many said that they wanted to get pregnant now just so they could go and have an abortion. Others spoke of the unborn children as a sex object. Some said they wanted to burn the exhibit down or burn the babies themselves. Others said they'd like to dedicate their next abortion to Ken Ham, or donate their aborted child to be the next exhibit. And so what Ken Ham said that really hit his staff is how evil this younger generation thinks, how they think. One of his staffers, who is also very young, has her own small children, she was one who was monitoring those comments, and I want to show you what she had to say. Her name is Avery Foley, she said this. Ralph, do we have that up there? She said this. Not only do individuals believe such depraved things, but they are proud of it. They are willing to put it on social media for all their friends and family, as well as strangers to see. They know abortion kills a baby, but they don't care. They openly laugh at it and celebrate the idea that they have the power and privilege to kill that unborn life, that unborn human life. If that doesn't make you weep for the future, I don't know what will. Those were her comments. These are our young people eligible to vote. Avery also shared that as she read those comments, she couldn't help but break down in tears. And because these young people were so callous, and they were defending and celebrating, destroying the life that was created in God's image. And so these are some of the comments that Avery and the other staff members had to deal with that sickened them, referring to the baby models in that exhibit. This is one of the comments. There were so many. My stomach was nauseous. So I've picked the better ones, okay? So you just get an idea of what they were being blasted with there. This is one of the comments. Are they eatable as is? Or do I need to boil them first? Are these available in lime and cherry, blue raspberry, and green apple flavor? They look so yummy. Yum, yum, treat, hail Satan, eat babies all day. These are the better comments. These are the better ones. Here's another one. Oh, I want to go and step on one and hear it squish under my boot. I'll give you one more. I'd get pregnant and have abortions so I could donate all the fetuses to this cause, just doing the Lord's work. These are just a few of the hundreds of examples that they got. And the staff was feeling the same thing that you were just feeling right now. As I was reading them, my stomach, it's nauseous. These are our young people. This is their worldview. This is while they're thinking. It just reveals the depravity of our heart, the heart in our country, the human heart. These young people are speaking out of their mouth that they don't value life. They don't value human life in their heart. They don't value the creator of life. They don't have a biblical worldview. I believe that's why we've been seeing all the things that we've been seeing in the streets and the riots. Our young people don't value life. They don't value life. They don't honor God. It's a spiritual battle. It is good versus evil. You know, God reveals the evil hearts of people in his word. He doesn't hide it. He reveals it. He brings it out to warn us about sin, to warn us about the consequences of sin. He doesn't hide it. He teaches us. He wants us to have a biblical worldview and obey his word. He revealed it in his judgment, with the flood of Noah. He revealed it with the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. He revealed the evilness of our people. He doesn't hide evil, and we shouldn't either. Evil has to be exposed and dealt with, and hearts have to be turned back toward God. You know, with all the civil unrest in our country over the past, 6 months or so, the violence has taken its toll on our police officers. I believe that this resignation letter of one of our police officers is going to summarize very well this position that we're in, that we're facing in this country. Officer Justin Wilson, he announced his resignation just this September from the Asheville Police Department, that's North Carolina, after only being on the force for 10 years. He was a community resource officer, so he was out in the community for the past 10 years, and he decided to leave the force after it began to take a toll on his personal life. And so I want you to listen to what he said in his resignation letter. And this letter has gone viral. Ralph, could you bring this up? This is what he said. This is his resignation letter after being 10 years on the force and seeing all that he's been seeing and dealing with. He said, "I am resigning from the Asheville Police Department. I'm headed out to Colorado to start a new career. Being a cop has been very difficult for me. It has taken a toll on my personal life. I cannot begin to explain the complexities of it to someone who has not been involved in it. I wish I could. I'm blessed to exit this job with only emotional scars." Then he goes on to say that he wishes he could have done a better job to protect the citizens of Asheville, and he regrets for not being able to do so. But he correctly points to the reasons why. Ralph, could you bring up this next quote? This is in his resignation letter. He says, he goes on to say, "I truly wish I could have offered you more safety and protection. My time as a community resource officer has been a constant balance of defending the Asheville Police Department, the APD, and acknowledging the shortfalls of APD. I tried my best to be transparent and honest with you all. I've come to the conclusion that APD, the Asheville Police Department, is tasked with stopping societal issues and disorder, but it is not within our capacity. We can only put a Band-Aid on these issues. Strong communities are the real remedy." And then Officer Wilson concluded with this, Pastor Ralph, "After 10 years at the Asheville Police Department, I can say confidently that the APD officers are good people with good hearts. Evil is real. Evil exists in Asheville. Officers are surrounded by it, and they do their best with what they have. Please remember that." So this officer, Wilson, he was saying evil is real. He's pointing the finger to the problem. It's evil is real. And he said the officers see it every day. He said the officers are good people. They got good hearts. I've worked with them for 10 years. I know their hearts. But they can't stop society's issues and disorder. It's not even in our capacity to be able to do it. He's talking about the depravity in the hearts of our people. And they can't control it. That's what it boils down to. It's a spiritual battle, folks, for the heart of our people, the heart of our nation. And the symptoms have been shoved in our face year after year. And most evidently, we've seen it these last 6 months or so through the whole, COVID, all of that. And most recently with this election that we just went through. And so we see how the enemy has been fighting to keep people bound in that kind of thinking. And sadly, it's with their approval. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." They don't know. Ultimately, I believe all of this, everything that we're dealing with, is all about the New World Order. The COVID, the economic shutdown, the paper ballots, the mail-in ballots, I believe it is all about the new world order that the enemy is trying desperately to set up. Church, this is not a time to lay down your spiritual sword. It's not a time to take off your armor. We need to keep your armor on. We need to continue to repent for our people. We got to repent for them because they don't know what they're doing. We need to pray that their eyes be open. We need to continue to pray. We need to plead for mercy for our nation. We need to continue to plead for mercy, continue to pray for changed hearts. We need to plead for and proclaim justice across this nation, for truth to prevail. You know, we need mercy. We need justice, just like Esther and Mordecai. That's where we are right now, at such a time as this. We can't stop now, guys. We can't stop now. We can't be discouraged. We got to stand on the word. We got to keep promoting the word. We need to uproot and pull down those altars that we've allowed to be erected. And so we need to proclaim justice. I encourage you to pick up one of those, the five prayer points back there that a congresswoman has brought together, just to unite the church in our country so that we're all praying together in unity. Pick them up. Take some home for your family members. There are five prayer points on there to go over, and that will unite us. You know, this battle is not over. We will continue to stand strong and to move forward with the word of truth. We will never break down. We will never back down. We will never stop. The word stands forever, and we will never be silent. Never.
Forth the trumpets that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer, and be jubilant, my feet. His truth is marching on. Glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me, as he died to make men holy. Let us